Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another installment of the Wednesday Weekly Word. I am Pastor Loretta Kreiner of the Tabernacle National Church, located in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada. The Wednesday Weekly Word is a Beyond the Podium production of the Holy Tabernacle Outreach Mission Incorporated, a Nevada-based corporation. The Tabernacle is also home of the exciting new Blessed Bible Book Memory Program, where you can learn to effortlessly recite all the books of the Bible. Visit our website at www.holytabernacleoutreach.org for details. Now you are invited to join me for today's installment of the Wednesday Weekly Word. Praise God and hallelujah. Another Wednesday has arrived and we are gathered together to get into the Word of God today and let the Word of God into us. You know, we're going to be looking at the Word of God and what it has to say to man about doubt and unbelief, which are triggered by our emotions and how we allow these emotions to control our lives today. So let's approach the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we want to thank you, O God. We want to thank you for all your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, O God. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for a mind to serve you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we want to cast all of our cares on you, Jesus. We want you, O God, to come in, O God. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to receive your word with joyfulness and thanksgiving, Lord, that your word will be fruitful in our life, Lord, so that we won't be a person of dead works, Lord, but of fruitful works, Lord. We want your light to shine through us and somebody else see the glory of God and you get the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. The subject of this discussion is called Believe, Doubting Nothing. And we know that a lot of times man is an emotional being, you know, and we are creatures of habit too. It is hard for us to change our stripes, if you will. We tend to do things the same way, and even if it doesn't work, which happens to be that definition of insanity, we keep doing the same things in the hope of getting something different to happen. Well, we want to go into the Word of God tonight and talk about how powerful the Word of God is that's going to enable us not to stay on that course of insanity, you know, on that course of misdirection. Because the Word of God contains the mind of God, doesn't it? When we pick up the Word of God, we are reading about our Father Jesus. It discusses the state of man, where we are. And I'm not, you know, when I speak to my students, I'm not talking about the state of Nevada or California. I'm talking about the state of our mind. You know, what we are, where we are, our well-being, our mentality, if you will, our behavior, our attitude towards life, you know. And then the Word of God gives us the way to salvation. The Word of God, for those who reject the Word of God, is doom news for sinners. Praise the Lord. And the happiness of believers. That's what I thank the Lord for, because, you know, we're supposed to get joy from the Word of God. When we read the Word of God and look to it, it will help us to make the decisions, amen, as we go forward in this life. It will help us to be wise and understand this God that we serve, because we'll get to know him by getting into his word. And we believe, or we have faith, that the Word of God is going to keep us safe. You know, when we trust in God, when we know our God is true, is faithful, he is going to protect us on every front. He does have our back. He has our side and he has our front. We are really, really, spiritually, we are really inside of God. Amen. We are a sheltered people. I wouldn't have it any other way. The Word of God is so vital to a Christian's life. It is like our blood. And that is how we were saved anyway, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we cannot disregard or dismiss the Word of God as if it has no potential, no significance whatsoever. It is what is going to sustain us in our walk. It is what is going to grow us in our walk. It's what's going to mature us, and we will be sound-bodied Christians. We will be fruitful to this body of believers. Amen. So the Word of God, you know, that we know about, that a man was born of a woman. And he lets us know in his word that man that was born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So we should not be shocked nor surprised when we find ourselves encountering difficulties, when we find ourselves encountering problems, you know, when the tire goes on flat and when you break your favorite glass. Or, you know, you stub your toe, and there's also countless others that rank way up high up there. But, you know, we're not immune from pain and hurt. We're not immune. But, you know, we have someone to go through these things with. And if we allow the Lord to take us through our trials, take us through the waters, we're going to come out victorious, and we are going to be sheltered in those waters. Through the Word of God, we are encouraged to believe the undeniable power and glory of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I don't care what people want to say. They can deny it all they want. They can say that Jesus was just a good teacher. They can say that's hocus pocus, that's nothing but mythology. But you know what? The Word of God, it does not lie. It says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Praise God today that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they're not going to be forced to do that. When they get to see that they were wrong, oh, they're going to know. There is no way they won't know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they won't have a problem, even if they're not going to spend eternity with him. Because, you know, when all of this facade is moved out the way, all of this gray area that we make gray area for, all of this dullness and this dimness that we have and we're not sure, see, all of that is going to be moved out the way. And what we really are and who God really is that's all that's going to be there. And we'll get to know that how we really look in the eyes of God. And if we don't have ourselves right, if we have not made that step, that commitment to give our life to Christ, we are going to instantaneously know that we are in trouble. And we won't be able to say nothing to Houston because can't nobody help us. Nobody can get us out of trouble with God. So one of the things that I want to talk about, what I said earlier, was doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief can seriously hinder a Christian's walk. We want to contrast doubt and faith. Praise the Lord. You know, while feelings do have their place, they have their place in our lives, God did not intend for our emotions to be overemphasized and that we put more credence in our emotions over the faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. Knowing that what God said is true. Praise God. Believing God, doubting nothing. We know that God's power is undeniable. And we know that what he did for someone else, he'll do it for us. There is no one that can make themselves worthy. For all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. But you know what? All it took was the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to belittle that because you know what? We can't get to God except through his son. We can't work our way there. And you know, we don't have any righteousness of our own. So why don't we grab a hold to Jesus' coattail and let him take us into eternity with him? We won't be left behind. You know, our emotions when we give them all of this validity, when we give them all of this credence, our emotions invalidate and it null and it voids the command that God told us to walk by faith. There were some people who got in trouble with God when they decided that Moses was not the only one that could represent God. When they felt that all of them were on the same level as Moses. So they began to rally and get some support. You know, that's what a lot of people do when they want to make a strong argument. But you got to remember, who are you arguing for and who are you arguing against? You know, we tend to, sometimes we tend to get over full of ourselves and we start thinking highly of ourselves. And sometimes we just don't want to hear what someone else has to say. And these are all emotions. They're emotions of pride and arrogance. And they get in the way of God's voice. And we can't hear God when we are in that state of being. And we take on what we call this God-like behavior where we know more than God. So we get to tell God and God's servant what thus says me. And God wasn't having that. God had to deal with those people. He surely did. They died. You know, but I thank the Lord we are under the grace because they were under the law and God didn't play that. You know, God is a righteous God, but he's also a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger and full of compassion. And he wants to place that compassion on us and he wants to shower and lather us in his love. But we got to let him. We got to let him do it. So what we got to do is we got to let our emotions find their proper place in our relationship when it comes to Christ. So we want to ask ourselves the question, do I lose my patience when things don't go the way I want them to go? Do I try to force doors open that are closed? You know, if God is not moving fast enough for me, am I going to try to go in through the back door, get a side door? Am I going to try to make a way because God isn't moving fast enough for me? Do I feel myself getting intensely impatient with others? Why am I saying these things and I'm talking about faith and I'm talking about doubt? Because when we don't go through right, when we don't allow God to mold us and shape us into the person he is calling us to be, when we don't, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That means it's a process. It's going to take time. But a yoke is, by definition, you have an oxen that is experienced, that is strong, and that knows what that plowman wants. And then you have the inexperienced oxen that is yoked to the experienced oxen. And what he is doing is learning the ways of the mature and the experienced oxen. He's learning how to turn. He's learning when to stop. He's learning when to go. He's learning when it's time to eat. There are times when he tries to turn away from the experienced oxen's direction, and the yoke that they are in pulls him back because the experienced oxen has more strength. Sometimes we want to resist the way God is trying to mold us and shape us, and we tend to feel like it doesn't take all of that. How come you aren't working any faster, Lord? But, you know, things take time. We have to be proven. We have to go through. How can we tell anybody that if you hold on, payday is coming after a while? How can we tell anybody that, you know what, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning? How can we tell anybody any of those things if we never had a problem that we allowed God to solve? How can we have that living testimony, that living victorious testimony of faith, healing, deliverance? when we won't allow God to work like that in our lives. So we end up being bitter, because that's the opposite side of not going through right. We end up being bitter, we end up being nasty, we end up being impatient, and we end up being just grouchy. Just old mean, old meanie. You know, we don't care too much for others, people get on our nerves. All of that comes from us not allowing God's love to mold us and shape us with His Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He's gentle and He's patient. But we're not supposed to grieve Him. We're not supposed to make it so hard where every twist and turn we are mumbling and grumbling. We want to be submissive and pliable, able to be shaped into the very image that God is calling us to be. We want to understand that this route that we take of selfishness, of trying to force God to go the way we want Him to, that this path has devastating consequences. And when we feel like, I've waited long enough, Lord, You're not going to do this for me. Remember the scripture in the Bible where the Lord tells the people who started doubting that He was coming, and they began to beat their wives and drink and everything because they said, He's not coming. You know what? It was in their heart anyway. And people can only put up a facade so long. If it's not in our heart to really be true to God, and we're not really seeking Him, yes, the cares of this life are going to break us. They are. They're going to break us. They're going to cause great spiritual harm to us. It's not unfixable for the Lord, but that's not the way that we want to go. We want to go the route that God is trying to take us. Let God lead us like that mature, experienced oxen. Let us take His yoke upon us so we can learn of Him, so we can learn how to move and how to maneuver, so that we can learn His ways. His ways, because His ways are better than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than ours. When we are impatient and we become so negative that we are all practically impossible and unpleasant to be around, what we end up doing is injuring our brothers and sisters. We can kill people's spirit with the tongue. James talks about the tongue a lot. We have to know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. If you think that your words do not matter, if you think that what you say has no effect over anybody, let somebody insult you about your hair or what you're wearing or how you smell. Whether it's a compliment or not, it's either going to make your day or it can cause your day to be really bad. I know that we're the ones that have to take back our own power when it comes to things like that, but it still does not negate the fact that words hurt. Words do hurt. They do cut the spirit. We can break people's spirit by being mean, nasty, and impatient, just downright grouchy. God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to love. We don't want to use criticism to answer someone because He told us to be slow to speak and quick to hear. And He told us not to answer somebody harshly. Why is God telling us that? Because God loves. He is love. God shows us His love and mercy. So many times we take it for granted. That's just all it is to it. We expect God to show all the love. We expect God to show all the mercy. We expect God to show all the patience. And us, we feel like, no, we can't be like that. We can't allow our spiritual life to take that shape. We have a part to play in this too. We do. And we are going to be held accountable. This is a serious account I want you to recognize. We are going to be held accountable for how we loved people down here. How we love. How sensitive was our heart to the hurts, to the needs, and to the concerns of others? Was it always about me? Was I always the one crying and being that squeaky wheel all the time? Or did my heart break for someone else? Did the trying of my life work patience in me, where now I can see my sister or brother struggling, and I can have compassion for them. We got to understand that our thoughtlessness and our insensitive words can kill a weak Christian. We, by doing these things, we can hurt the body of Christ when we behave this way. And the only one who gains anything from that is Satan. I am not doing anything that I, if I can possibly help it, to upbuild his kingdom. But see, we don't recognize that our selfishness really does play a big role in building up Satan's kingdom, because that's why Jesus died for us, after all. We were selfish. We didn't think twice about God when Satan brought that tempting idea. We didn't think one time about how that would affect God, what that would do to our relationship with God. This goes back to that selfishness. This goes back to not taking his yoke upon us. All this goes back to our insensitivity to God. Some people can be so sensitive to animals and yet insensitive to people. Some people can be so sensitive to people and insensitive to animals. And then you got people just insensitive to God totally. We disregard him, we take him for granted, we treat him like he's a dirty towel. And yet, he wants to be around us. I tell you, I don't understand it, but I sure do praise him. I do. I praise him for being the God in my life and loving me and looking beyond my faults. Praise the Lord. So he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to get over ourselves. He wants us to believe him, doubting nothing, getting into the word and let the word get into us. So then this is what we do. We need to relax, because God's plan is much better than our plan. Let's allow God's plan to have the priority in our life. Some of us don't like to give up the reins. We like our hands on the steering wheel. Some people are serious control freaks. We just don't feel right unless we're the one commanding the ship. But God says, no, I'm sorry, there cannot be two commanders. You will either let me drive it or you're going to crash into the rocks. Yeah, I'll come out there and get you, but you're not going to have a boat. I got to go back. I got to get all this stuff back together for you, and I'll do it. But why do we have to keep going through all this drama? The Lord wants us to relax. He wants us to follow his plan. He wants us to commit to his plan. His plan is better. You know, in the words of Dr. Phil, how has it been working for you lately? Going your own way, doing your own thing. All I can say is, for me, it never works when I just try to go my own way and feel like I know best. I've always found that I had to turn around, ask the Lord to forgive me, and give it back to him. Let's just know that this loving God that we serve, he won't hurt us. He won't take it too far. God won't let you stay in that trial 1 minute longer than he wants you to. And you're not going to get out 1 minute earlier than he wants you to either. Because it needs to do what it is set out to do. It needs to fulfill the purpose of God. It needs to go through that Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. There are no better hands we could be in. Jesus loves you, and he loves me, and we want him to have his perfect way in our life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that your word went out and it touched the hearts and minds of the listeners, oh God. Lord Jesus, that they would start talking to you, oh God, more, Jesus. That, Lord, that they will, oh God, come to you and reason together with you, Lord. That they will indulge conversation with you, Lord. That they would meditate more on you and allow the Holy Spirit to minister in their thoughts, Lord, in their actions, oh God. Let him take over every fiber of their being, oh God. Lord Jesus, we're growing daily and learning in you, Lord. And that's exactly what we want to do. We don't want to do things in and of ourselves, Lord, but we want to do all things to the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord, because we want you to get the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I hope that God's word found you today, and I hope that God's word renewed your bones and satisfied your soul. I want you to always remember, as the tabernacle says, to be on time, on task, and on a mission for God. God bless you, and good night.
We certainly enjoyed today's message by Pastor Loretta Kreiner. Tune in next week for the continuation of the same message on the Wednesday Weekly Word with National Pastor L. Kreiner. This is Bishop Kreiner on behalf of the Tabernacle Christian Broadcasting and its affiliates, family, and members. Good night.
Have been listening to the Wednesday Weekly Word by Holy Tabernacle Outreach Community, located in Las Vegas, Nevada at 918 Valley View Boulevard. If you would like to fellowship with us, stop by or give us a call at 1-888-523-4866, or you can visit us at our website at www.holytabernacleoutreach.org. And please, pick up a copy of the Blessed Bible Book Memory Lesson for yourself or a friend. Remember to tune in to our Friday Faith Prayer, Saturday Sunday School Preview, Monday Press, and our new Bible reading to you on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Next time we get together, I hope to find that you are on time, on task, and on a mission for God.